thing for me. Ain't pretty like my sister, small like my dad, good like my mama. It's money that I love. It's money that I love.
Welcome back, everyone, to episode 20 of Tabula Cast. So as you all know, it's all a bit different now here on Tabula Cast, with Sean getting busier with his role and his gig over at Massively. So he needed to allocate more time to that. And if you've been over to Massively this week, you will see episode 1 of Massively Speaking, Sean and Michael Zenke's new podcast. It really seems like this is going to be a nice little podcast. So if you want to hear more of Sean's dulcet tones, then head over there to massively.com and check that out. So good luck with that, Sean. So yes, Sean isn't here. So with me on the podcast, however, today is Matt. Hello, Matt.
Hello.
Now, I thought Matt would be a good choice to have on Tabula Cast this week, following Sean taking a backseat last time. Matt and I are going to discuss this week's news, an email that I've received, and we also wanted to talk a little bit about a pretty special in-game event that happened this week. So before we get into all of that, Matt, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
I've been playing TR I played it in beta and then took a couple of months break while they sorted out some of the performance issues. I'm not one of those people gifted with the money to spend on an amazing machine. You'll find me as Teppo on Gax, where I'm trying to get a bit more familiar with it. I'm not really used to this blogging malarkey.
It's quite weird. I mean, I was never a fan of like the MySpaces and the Facebooks and the sit on my Facebook or whatever you want to call it. And I don't know, I sort of found Gax, and where it is sort of gaming related, it really sort of hooked me in. And you know, before I knew it, it sort of went a bit full speed, and it's quite a nice community over there. So it was good to see you come over there.
Yeah, it's a nice community, unless you say something they disagree with, and then you get lynched and hung outside in the cold and the wet.
And of course, they're all listening to this, mate.
Yeah, I've shown my weakness now. Damn it.
So you're studying for a degree at the moment, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm doing a master's in computer science and games development.
Which is awesome. I think that's very relative. And so not only with the fact that, you know, we met in game and on TeamSpeak, and sort of I picked up on the fact that you didn't mind talking. That, along with the fact that, you know, you're doing something game related and, you know, in the development. And particularly you're specializing in AI at the moment, aren't you?
Yes, I am for the moment. Depending on how well my dissertation goes, we'll see if that continues.
But I just thought that was really cool, and I thought you'd have a lot of feedback on the patch notes and you know, testing stuff. And I really thought it'd be a good idea to have you on as a guest co-host this week.
Oh, well, again, we'll see how long that idea lasts.
Excellent. So, should we get on and talk a little bit about the news?
Yep, sure.
So the first thing I wanted to talk about was that we, as in Tabula Cast, it's a bit weird talking about the royal we without Sean here, Matt, no offence, but it's very strange, was awarded this award by MMO Fury for the best Tabula Rasa fan site, which was awesome. You know, along with Planet TR, they commented on the quality of the podcast and the topics chosen, which is, it's really nice to get feedback like that and an award. You know, that's awesome.
Woohoo! Bit of recognition.
Yeah, definitely. Because sometimes you do this, you know, week in, week out, and it's quite easy to just pick up on, you know, a few little things where people say. People will often quite happily talk about things they don't like, you know.
Yeah.
To get actually recognised and appreciated is great. And, you know, on that note, I mean, I was dreading the feedback from last week's episode, you know, about Sean, you know, having to sort of take a step back. I was actually thinking, you know, people are going to hate it. But I've had so much positive feedback and good luck wishes and things along that line. So thank you all very much for that, and I hope to continue to do a good job.
Yay, thank you.
This week's Feedback Friday, I thought, was there was very little actual development-related news in it. Well, none, in fact. So, I mean, so just going back through the week's news, we had a little bit of a test patch update on the test server, and there's the release notes for this for patch 1.7.4. I'm just going to read these out because it really isn't anything, you know, amazingly newsworthy. So I just wanted to read these through for people just in case they hadn't checked these out. Characters now receive a message upon logging in if they need to make room in their inventory for special rewards. So I guess this is like when we're given like holiday stuff and things like this. If your bag's full, you actually get warned about it, and you won't have a full bag and just not receive the item, which will be a nice little introduction.
Oh, that'd be great.
So there's a few changes made to the Release the Hounds missions from the Myers Targets of Opportunity with the Complete All Story Missions objective. You're the Guy and Confidential Delivery missions have both been removed from the Myers Target of Opportunity. These were removed because players that chose an alternate mission course would not be able to complete the requirement. Okay, so that makes sense to remove that one out. In the Abyss mission, Keys to the City, you're no longer able to lock the rest of the instance after resetting. The mobs in the Ruins of Tampay should now drop better loot. I guess they've been updating the loot table. And that's pretty much it from the patch notes. So again, nothing majorly exciting, but I just wanted to run through those to make sure everybody knew that they were there if they get a chance to test. Later on, we're going to talk a little bit about the test server because, Matt, you've had a little chance to play on there, haven't you?
Yeah, I like to devote a couple of hours to fiddle around on the test server when I can.
Yeah, you're a bit of a test server regular, aren't you?
I try to be. It's being torn between getting more XP, getting more loots on my main character, and seeing what the future is going to bring on the test server, I think. It's difficult.
I often find that because I only get, you know, a couple of nights a week to play lately, that I completely neglect test server. So I'm glad you're here.
Oh, yay. I have a use.
So this week's Feedback Friday was more of a fiction Feedback Friday, which is pretty refreshing because lately, every week, it's been what's being patched, fixed, broken, or in the pipeline. You know, I'm keen to get a bit more lore information, and it also gets me excited again about the possibilities of new content locations. So basically all of these, they're a few sort of, they're almost like a Q&A about the lore, which is nice to get a bit of insight on, you know, the environment we play in, and in particular the planets and how the bigger scheme of things, which I get the impression from this is. So the first thing it says here is, we've seen the battle lines on the surface of two small planets, which is what I'm saying. That's the stuff we always see going on. But where are those planets in correlation to one another? Arike and its sister planet Erdas, the Bran homeworld, which has completely fallen to the Bane, orbit HD162020. Oh, we've got star locations. A type K2V dwarf orange star located approximately 102 light years from Earth in the constellation Scorpius. Furius is much closer to Earth, orbiting Epsilon Indi, a main sequence star approximately 12 light years away in the constellation Indus. Right, so that makes sense to me that we sort of get to Furius first, because it's close, isn't it, in terms of light years?
That kind of confused me though. The first time I read that, I thought, wow, we've seen the battle lines on the surface of two small planets. Ooh, new planet announcement, yay!
Yeah, I actually did get excited reading this. I thought, oh, is this hinting that we're going to actually, they've got to start giving us a bit more lore on this because we're going to have a whole new batch of lore. So, you know, maybe that new planet that we talked about previously on Tabula Cast will be coming sooner than we think.
We live in hope.
I always live in hope. So how are the battle lines drawn out on a galactic level? The AFS forces, as we know them, were transported to Arakai and Foraeus. It is possible that some humans were transported to other star systems via different wormhole connections, but the AFS currently has no way to communicate with them. There are almost certainly other non-human races fighting the Bane as well. To date, the full scope of war and the true size of the Bane forces on a galactic scale is unknown. Now again, that to me says, yes, at the moment, you know, we've got Bane versus humans and we've got the few incidental aliens that we see around it, you know, which we've got the hybrids with as well. But that tells me that there's so much more scope for new races in this game.
Yeah, I mean, the TR seems to have made a point of basing the setting on a galactic scale. It's not like just a couple of planets, not in the solar system. It is across the entire galaxy. It gives them a massive amount of space to work with.
Yeah, if you're gonna future-proof your game, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, we'll just stick the entire universe in there. We can put anything in there.
Yeah, but if you think about this, you know, I mean, if I think back to Star Wars Galaxies, where that was all very planet-based and you got transport ships to the different planets. But then they did add a whole entire space game to it. And if you look at the success of Eve and the up-and-coming Jumpgate Evolution and games like that, it's a very popular market. Now, the problem I have with it is that when I jump into Eve, and admittedly they are going to add the character interaction, is I feel like I'm playing a ship. I don't feel like I'm playing my character at all. So if you think about that and the possibility of adding space into this game at some point, now this is complete speculation, of course, but That would be a fun little side game to add into this, you know, the actual travelling bit in between.
Aye, it'd be great. I mean, SWG did that so well, and I haven't seen anybody do it since. I mean, maybe I can't say they did it so well because there's nothing to compare it to.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's true. But it was quite seamless, wasn't it? And, you know, it just was a nice addition, and it didn't feel like it was taking anything away from a separate game.
Oh, definitely. It just fit perfectly.
So what's the chain of command for the AFS? Well, AFS High Command is a wartime council of sorts made up Terran generals, Furian tribal elders, and Bran Grupus syndicate bosses, basically they're calling those. High Command is officially at the top of the chain of command on Ferreus and Arike, and all other AFS divisions, including the all-important Quartermaster Corps who maintain the credit system, vendors, and military surplus houses, answer to them. The one notable exception to this is the mysterious Black Ops Division, Penumbra. Due to the passage of the controversial Article 268, also known as the Diagnosis Directive, Penumbra is allowed to conduct clandestine operations and surveillance, often on the AFS itself, with impunity. It is unknown what type of command structure human refugees in other star systems may have developed, as communication with them is impossible at this time. At this time, Matt, though. At this time. See? Future-proofing.
I like it. Nice little strap line to keep us all hanging in there.
Yeah. Aside from the invasion of Earth, were there any major battles with the Bane in the past? The Battle of Concordia Divide was mankind's first battle against the Bane forces. It occurred almost 5 years before the Bane invaded Earth, when the first humans, a platoon of Marines, entered an Ella wormhole and were transported to Ferreus. Ferreus base now stands on that very battlefield. More recently, a brutal surprise attack by Bane forces occurred on Arike. The attack on Fort Intrepid left the largest human fort on the planet in ruins and destroyed 23 AFS dropships and 17 mechs. Personnel losses were 1,382 killed and 382 wounded. Wow, that's quite disastrous, isn't it?
We got our asses handed to us.
Bane losses were minimal at 12 Predators, 8 dropships and 5 Stalkers, with just 32 Thrax killed or wounded. The latest intel from the front brings news of another major battle taking place at Valvadea Plateau on Ferreus. This battle is already being called the Battle for Trinity Bridge, though there can be little doubt that the real prize is the Bane installation at Maligo Base. Cool. Yeah, I can see that. Now, these little bits of history, if you like, are something I think is really important in the lore. I mean, if you logged on at Christmas time, they had the whole memorial event, which was called Remembrance Day. And so around Christmas time, if you logged in, you had to paint your armor red in honor of the bloodshed. And, you know, then there was a big event at Ferreus Base, and, the Bane were attacking there. And it was incredible. The turnout there was huge. I've never seen so many people in Ferreus Base. It was epic, the amount of people that were there.
I'm really gutted I missed that.
Yeah. It was pretty good. It's laggy, but epic. It's things like that I would like to see a lot more of. I mean, you know, there was no Easter holiday event this time, but, you know, previously we've had Halloween events and things along those lines, and, you know, there's a lot of player run events now. I'd like to see NCSoft provide a great deal more of these sort of things.
Oh yeah, definitely. In the lore is quite important. I've just finished getting my my alt army up to 30, basically. And I'm really enjoying reading the mission log now. Just reading why I'm going to collect 10 Thrax skulls or whatever.
Yeah, because if you do actually do that, they're not just... Okay, you could see them as glorified, you know, they're FedEx missions. You just got to go and get this, or, you know, kill 10 rats. But they're not. If you read them, they do a very good job. Because if you think about it, there is only so many ways you can say, go get 10 Borgers, isn't there? You know, it must be quite difficult to come up with new ways to do that. And I like the whole sort of research ideas. We need research samples. That has always impressed me, because if we're fighting part of this war and understanding our enemy, getting, you know, samples from our enemies for DNA and stuff, that makes a lot of sense. And I like the way they did that with these, like, hospital and medic research facilities.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And then the whole cast of NPCs, if you will, has a certain... attitude to it that can be quite amusing sometimes.
Yeah. Some of them are neurotic, some of them are insane, some of them are, you know, completely military style, aren't they? There's a lot of different characters in there.
Oh, it's great. It's like a little movie.
If we're all in this war together, why do we need to buy weapons and ammunition? Now, this is one that bugs me, and I'm glad they've asked this, because I've always thought that. I've always thought, surely we should get given this stuff, you know, the ammo and the weapons. So I'm interested to see the response to this. Since the fall of Earth, weapons, ammunition, and other supplies are limited and must be allocated in such a way as to maximise their usefulness to the war effort. Towards that end, the AFS Quartermaster Corps introduced an artificial merit-based economy. Credits. Credits are not really money per se. They are promissory vouchers or chits redeemed for AFS issue equipment. Ah, I see. So it's like ration vouchers back in wartime.
That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, it does make a hell of a lot more sense to me now. That's brilliant. During battle, special sensors embedded in all AFS weapons calculate a credit value for the confirmed kill and automatically transmit these credits to the soldier's account.
Cool.
Additional credits are also tallied for successful completed missions. These credits are then used to purchase weapons, ammunition, and other equipment for the soldier's use. In this way, the QC ensures that the greatest portion of these valuable commodities is dispensed to the most skilled and efficient soldiers. That is sci-fi fluff at its best.
yeah, but it says it so well.
Yeah, no, that really works for me. But it is like you can answer anything in a sci-fi world with anything, can't you?
Yes, because it's too advanced for you to understand.
So when receptives die, they get resuscitated. Do the Bane also get resuscitated? If they don't, why is it that the AFS hasn't won the war against the Bane? Bane describes the entirety of the enemy forces, which is comprised of conscripts from many alien races. The most common of these, at least on Phyreus and Ereko, are the Thrax. Some Thrax are receptives, and caretakers do resuscitate dead Thrax soldiers. Why hasn't the AFS won the war? Because additional conscripts arrive every day, and even more, like the Machina, are being artificially created using the bodies of the AFS dead who cannot be resuscitated. The AFS has no idea of the actual size of the Bane forces or where their main headquarters are located. Even less is known about the NEPF, cousins to the Elor, and supreme leaders of the Bane war machine. Okay, so why are we fighting this war? Why isn't it ending, you know? Because it's perpetual, and there'd be no fun if it did end. But that does sort of justify it a bit. You know, we get the idea that the Bane are pretty strong and they're using different tactics to us. So that's cool. I can live with that.
Yeah, it's also an interesting point is the fact that Tabula Rasa, unlike a lot of the other more popular, perhaps, MMOGs out there, goes to try and explain why things randomly spawn in the middle of a field.
Yeah. Not talking about any giantly, massively popular games at all.
No, we name no names, but yeah.
No, it's a good point. And I think often the smaller MMOs, I mean, if you look at Lord of the Rings and some of the others, like Eve even, if you look at it from that sense, they do make more of an effort with this stuff because they have to, I suppose. And Tabula Rasa is a good example of that. We get richer content, I think, because we're a smaller target audience, really.
I guess, well, we are a smaller target audience, but yeah, it's like you said, they can't compete on an economy of scale, so they have to make sure they retain the people they do have.
Yeah, that's just cool. Do the Bane have wormholes or faster-than-light, FTL, for the lose, drives on their ships? Again, much of the technology used by Bane is a mystery. It is known that due to a difference in physiology, Thrax can't use human wormholes. It has been reported, however, that they're currently working on their own version of a wormhole portal, so they may have one in the very near future. The Bane forces almost certainly employ some type of FTL drive for their motherships and shard ships. Since the latter are created from the shards of destroyed planets, this technology must be external and easily adapted to transport large objects. But the exact method they use is unknown at this time. Now, that kind of explains to me why when you run through a wormhole or a teleport, a Bane doesn't follow you.
Yeah, for which I am eternally thankful.
Yeah, so that's cool. I like this. Reading back over these, I think a lot of these questions and answers are... They didn't have to do any of this, but it does kind of answer a few of the questions that probably all of us as players have had on our minds. You know, oh, I can run in here. And they don't follow us, but they manage to take over our planet, you know. So it does answer a few of those questions, and this is the sort of stuff I'm grateful to see.
Yeah, I mean, one of the sort of aside from this, one of the main things main problems I come up against when, say, introducing people to an MMOG who aren't really gamers. I'll ask, why does that random thing appear there? Why can't they do this and whatever? And most of the time the answer is, just because. But this is good.
Yeah, you do have to let a bit of that go, don't you? I think if you start analysing every little thing, which a lot of people do, it almost ruins your enjoyment. You know, I know you're very much like this, Matt. When we log on, it's all about having fun. And of that, even on our clan nights, we log in and we don't necessarily earn any XP, do we?
No.
We just get everybody together and we just run some instants, or we go and take a control point or something like that. And it really isn't about, you know, that sort of stuff, or why is this here, why is that? It's just about having fun.
Oh, yeah. I mean, definitely. That's the primary part of playing a game, I guess.
But, you know, not to distract from that, because I do like, you know, just in the same way I like to read a book rather than watch a movie, I do like to know my lore in my game. I do like to get wrapped up in all of that too. And I'd almost take it away with me out of the game. You know, I mean, when we're reading fan sites or we're doing this podcast, you know, I'm always thinking about the game, and it's nice to have the fluff there.
Oh, definitely. I mean, it all contributes to the overall sort of fun factor.
Yeah. And there's been a lot of fan fiction as well. You know, that's something I want to see more of. I did, you know, hold something on my blog, you know, announcing, you know, people to send in fan stories and fiction. And I was surprised how little I had. You know, I would like to see a lot more of that. And I think NCSoft are doing a great thing now. They have a section on their site for submitting the fan site and the fan fiction and the artwork. And I just think, you know, maybe things like this where we get official lore might spur that on a bit. And, you know, the role players and the writers amongst us can, you know, get going with that and create some really interesting backstory.
Oh, yeah. I'm not a writer myself. I'm terrible at it. But it is fun, and it's good for the sort of the community in whole, for people to get a bit more into the lore and really get into it and whatever.
Yeah. I feel like with you know, other larger games, I don't want to continue talking about other games, but I'm going to. It like you say, it's almost brushed over, isn't it? It's almost just not there. You're just playing the game, and it's all spoon-fed to you, and you go here next, you go here next, you go here, and it's like the constant progression without actually taking anything in.
Yeah, definitely.
That's my WoW rant over. There you go. Right. Another bit of news I picked up wasn't specifically Tabula Rasa news this week, but it's very, very important for the future of Tabula Rasa and the future of all NCSoft games, it appears. Now, it's about NC Coin. So if you haven't heard of NC Coin before, or the particular news this week regarding it, it's the in-game microtransaction currency that NCSoft have currently introduced in their game X-Steel. Now, X-Steel is in beta in the US, and you can access it almost anywhere in the world and sign up and play it. And it's a free, almost like a free arena-based mech warrior-style game. You've got mechs that you can run around and do damage with, and you get armor and weapons. And it's pretty cool. It's nothing too deep, but I didn't spend any money playing it, so it might get better, and it is only in the beta. So basically, a dollar will buy you 100 NC coin. So 100 NC coin could be used to buy different things in XTEL. You might get better armor or weapons and stuff. So the game is essentially free to play unless you need better stuff. Now, this has proven very popular in Korea, with similar ideas being a great business models. It's largely aimed at casual gamers, although they do seem to go nuts for it over there and spend a lot of money on this. It's sort of gamers who don't really like committing a monthly fee to a game or have time to hunt for loot, etc. So they effectively buy their loot, I guess. It's also aimed at pocket money gamers. So if someone can go into a store and buy a 1,000 NC coin card and then use that in-game without a credit card, it makes the system more, you know, available to everybody. You know, because not all of us have credit cards. You know, well, I have several.
Don't talk to me about debt. I'm still a student.
So, yeah, you know, it's an interesting idea. It's a very, very brave move. Now, why is this related to TR? Well, okay, so NCSoft announced this week that they are incorporating the system into new games and retrofitting it into their current older game. City of Heroes recently introduced in-game advertising in their billboards. They're going to start, you'll see real-world advertisements on the billboards in the city, which is optional, but you know, quite an interesting move to gain some revenue for development, I think. Or just gain some money, full stop. So the first thing I think is that, you know, I predicted on my personal blog about this, that Guild Wars 2 was going to be a perpetual world. So unlike Guild Wars is currently, where it's very heavily instance, they said Guild Wars 2 was going to be perpetual, and it was still going to remain free. And instantly my alarm bells went off, and I thought, this is going to be microtransaction based. And I actually think that is closer to fruition now, seeing that. But going back to TR, I'm really not sure about retrofitting this into current games. I guess if it was to buy like extra character slots or maybe bonus mission packs, that's pretty cool. Or if it was optional, so, you know, we can pay a monthly fee for Tabula Rasa and play as normal. But if we don't play regularly, there's a free basic version, and then you can use this currency to buy instances or gear or whatever. I don't know. Or time. I don't know. This is all complete speculation by me at this stage, because no one's actually said anything of how it's going to be released into Tabula Rasa. But, you know, if someone can just log on and spend, you know, a few dollars buying the best talk shell rifle on the server, then there's going to be some issues regarding loot and its value on the market, isn't there?
There's already some issues with loot and its value on the market.
Well, yeah, because there is no value. I mean, it's kind of, you can get hold of everything, can't you? And you've got endless amounts of credits, you know.
Pretty much, yeah.
So they have said they're going to improve that, though, and the loot tables are improving, and we'll get rare items and such. So that will improve, but having this, you know, where someone can just log in and buy something, you know, with credits, or I suppose you'd buy it from the website and it would appear in your inventory. I don't know. Again, speculation. But it opens up a lot of possibilities. And, you know, either way, it's a pretty brave move, as I said. And I'm sure a lot of the fan sites and forums will have a hell of a lot to say about this.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I'm not entirely sure how well that would fit into Tabula Rasa, or even if they plan to do that. But it's a lot of people are sort of going that way now. I don't know whether it's purely for profit, or whether it's just a way a lot of people like to play their games or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to dwell on this, because the, you know, Tabula Rasa is getting popular again, and it's, you know, after that awful bit of news feedback not so long ago from Korea, where it's saying that the game is dying and failing on its feet when it wasn't. You know, that has a bad effect. And, you know, everyone said, oh, it's going to go the way of Auto Assault. Now, I do wonder, if Auto Assault had the option for a micro transaction system, would it still be here today? You know, would that be part of the free arsenal that we get in the Play NC launcher, and we could, you know, fire it up and, you know, play it for free, or if we want some extra stuff in it, buy a nice car with some NC coin. So, you know, does it add that extra longevity to our games? You know, if there was a lifespan of Tabula Rasa of, say, 8 years, but after 8 years, if people still wanted to play it and they could have a microtransaction system, you know, would that keep it going for longer?
That's a good point. It's something to look out for.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how this develops. This is obviously the first bit of news, so I'm guessing it's leading to something bigger. So we shall see where this heads.
Long live TR.
So that's it for the news, really. So, Matt, you've had some time to get onto the test server this week, haven't you?
I've had an hour or two to fiddle about.
So what have you been checking out?
Mostly, I've been playing with the new aggro rules.
Oh, right. That's related to the sniper. And if you hit one target, the rest of them will get, you know, their knickers in a twist and come and get you.
Yeah, I mean, my main on the test server, because it happened just before I got my Guardian, is a spy. So I thought, I'll go around, should be fine. I've never had any problems with my spy before. The second I hit one Thrax, who was a couple of levels below me, killed him, naturally, because I'm a spy and overpowered. But a small firing squad of about 6 or 7 Thrax, I think the furthest was about 30 or 40 meters away, lined up on me straight away, and 2 Kale came running through the air, and I died very quickly.
So after you shouted nerf as loud as you could, what was your initial reaction to how that felt actually playing that? To me, that's fair and realistic, but, you know, I'm sure a lot of people will say, you know, it's nerfed their classes for them, or it's made things a lot harder and unnecessary. But how did you feel about that?
I think, yeah, it's definitely in the right direction. Maybe it needs a little turning down, perhaps, because you don't want to make it unsoloable for especially the melee classes. Mm-hmm. or the closer range classes. I had issues with just my chain gunning commando as well at one point.
Okay.
He didn't die, but it's there's definitely a lot more challenge in it.
Yeah.
Which is good, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. You know, I can't wait to see that. But I guess if people do have that comment that it's, you know, a little bit too much, submit those reports, because as we've recently realized that they are actually listening to test feedback and changing things accordingly. So if everybody does think that, they will make an adjustment to that.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Submit those reports. the problem with the aggro system at the moment was it was all fine and dandy testing the aggro system, because with my spy, which is really my ranger tier character, mm-hmm. It made it difficult to test out the other changes in the ranger tier in the battlefield. Because as soon as I got aggro, yeah, that was it. It was all over.
So, but you did have a play about with those, because what have we got? We've got, you know, the carpet bombing.
Yeah.
So that's changed, hasn't it? Any different to you?
The Ion Strike looks quite pretty, as does the Napalm. I wouldn't say that the Iron Strike, either in rank 2 or rank 4, is particularly effective.
Okay.
They say it has a stun, but I can't see it. It doesn't really last a meaningful amount of time.
Right, okay. So not worth writing home about.
No, not really. The carpet bombing 1 and 3 is as carpet bombing 1 and 3 was, really. Napalm, on the other hand, is great fun.
Not that we can write home, because home's destroyed, isn't it?
It's great. Little nice sort of medium to high damage dot on the floor. Anything runs over it, it gets burnt to hell. Again, another sort of aggro drawer, but it's great.
Yeah, that sounds quite cool to me. Did you get a chance to play with any of the others, or is that it for your testing?
I played with the spotter a bit, but the targeting for it, the AI on it, is a lot better.
It is, because that replaces the AI classes, which I really wasn't a fan of, the AR skills and abilities in the Ranger class. So it'd be interesting to see how that's improved.
Yeah, it pretty much, it'll fire anything that shoots on you, and it'll stay targeted on one thing, generally speaking. Or if you shoot at something, it'll target on that. And they do a reasonable amount of damage. They probably won't kill anything, or it'll take a long time for them to kill anything of an even level. Mm-hmm. But it's good if you've got lots of lower level mobs around you, I reckon.
Nice. And so, you know, recently in a patch note, it was talking about, you know, a new sort of control mechanism for pets and, you know, the pet classes and things along that line. And no signs of that yet, I'm taking, with that ability.
No.
Oh, that's a shame.
I wish.
But maybe if they're working it in, you know, it'll accommodate all systems, I guess.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. The summoned creature problem is quite something at the moment.
Isn't it, Jess? So also this week, as some of you may or may not know, yesterday was my birthday. Happy birthday, me.
Yay!
And we had a bit of an in-game bash on Tuesday. Now I didn't really know this was going to turn out quite how it did, so let me just explain this to people. I left a message the previous week saying, look, it's my birthday next week on the Friday, but Tuesday is our clan night. Let's just have a little game bash and, you know, see what we can hunt and do and just, you know, call it a birthday thing, even though it isn't really. And that's all I thought of it. And I thought, we're going to log in and just do the usual stuff, but me get a little bit of attention because I need it. And so I log in and I'm like, first of all, I log in just to check some messages, and I've got like 5 minutes, and then I have to log out before I have to go do something and then log in properly. And I see I'm AFK and I see Silver Mammoth waving at me. And I feel really bad for this now, but I said, look, I'm sorry, but I've got to go. And I log out. Yeah. And it's now very apparent why they were trying to get my attention. Because the next time I logged back in, I logged out of the tavern. So I was there ready when I logged back in. I walked out of the tavern and there's like the clan were there. And I was like, oh, hi, everyone. Hello. And I looked over to my left and Avatia was there. Community coordinator Avatia. I was like, oh, hi. She must have read the post and just turned up. You know, brilliant. Still didn't think much of it. Just thought, oh, hi, she's come to say hello on my birthday. That's great. And then it suddenly dawned on me that this was a massive stitch-up and surprise. That, who planned this, Matt? I don't really know.
Mammoth was definitely the mastermind.
Yeah,
he got us all organized, and I helped spread the word a bit, and he got on to Sean and whatever.
Yeah,
it was good.
I was completely overwhelmed by this because, you know, to have Tia turn up and then start just throwing bad guys at us was incredible. I mean, there was probably only, what, there's like 10 of us, was there, something like that?
Yeah, if that.
Yeah, and you know, normally when these events are announced, there's tons of people, but we were just outside the tavern in that really small area, and there was just like a few of us, and these, like, you know, stalkers would appear, and juggernauts, and, you know, Atta Queens, and they're all like level 50s, weren't they? And I died a hell of a lot, but you know, it was brilliant. You know, these things just kept appearing, and she just kept chucking them at us, and we were taking them out, and it was getting quite funny when we were thinking, right, should we lead some of these into the main base?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, those bewildered little newbies.
And what's going on here? You know, there's like a level 50 juggernaut in the base. And it was really, really cool. And I was completely overwhelmed that people had gone to the trouble to do this. And I was really sort of buzzing from it. You know, it was such a nice thing. And I just, you know, I even jokingly sort of said, I want more when it was over, didn't I? And everyone was like, you ungrateful gits. But it was really cool. And, like, you know, when Tia had to go, she said, oh, right, I've got to go. And, like, I thought, oh, I'm going to say, we all said goodbye and thanks very much and all this sort of stuff. And I thought we'd just watch her disappear. But she rather cleverly launched two stalkers at us that we had to deal with. and then she wasn't there when we got back. But we led those into the base, didn't we, at the end, and they got stuck.
Oh, yeah. Well, we couldn't defeat them on our own.
We couldn't.
We had, like, one level 50, 140, 230s, and the rest of us, like, 20.
But it was funny, wasn't it, because like people just at that moment, like two level 50s walked into the base and they were like, what the hell, you know? And they were just like, and then they just unleashed their fury, and it was really, really awesome. And it, you know, I wasn't expecting it at all. It was a total surprise, so thank you all very much.
Yeah, it was an absolute hoot.
Yeah, that's cool. I you have set an expectation for next year, though.
Oh dear lord, no.
So I've received an email this week. So along with all the feedback from everyone saying, you know, good luck with hosting the show, and, you know, how happy they were that I was continuing it. It's great to get all of that. But I did get a specific email this week, and it says, hi, John, nice show. All the best in running TabularCast in the future. And it says, in advance, excuse my English, it's not that good. I don't know if you already knew this. I found one thing I wanted to share with you. It's a bit funny. In Torden Plains, right in between Dropship Point and Wormhole in Irenda's Penal Colony, there are NPCs there discussing new PAU units. Something like, what is this? Oh, it's a new PAU unit, not working yet and stuff. Actually, I don't know how long are this NPCs, but I think from the first time they announced PAUs, I think that's a language thing there. I don't know how long they've been there, basically. One more thing. I have a small suggestion for your next contest, if you will make one. Besides making a riddle or puzzle to solve to find the prize, you could use some of the NPCs on the map and what they are actually saying as a default answer for the piece of the puzzle. Something like this. Find Corporal Hicks, see what he has to say, gather 10 Bolgar skins and bring it to the location described in the riddle. This should take more time to solve than just giving a riddle. Maybe even if TR dev team is willing, they can make some custom words that NPCs give. Well, I'm not so sure that's going to happen. But, you know, might be a nice idea. But I think this is generally a really good idea. You know, it said the NPCs should not have radio above their head, like they're giving a mission. Players would have to figure out where NPCs are themselves. This is, I hope you can use this in the future contest. You can use my idea and change it freely. I will not sue you.
Oh, that's always nice to know.
It says, best regards, Ptolemy, Phoenix Legion. I hope I'm saying that right. That's brilliant. Thanks for that email. But yeah, you know, that is a really good idea. One thing Sean and I noticed when we did our first TabularCast competition was that it was over very, very quickly. We put a riddle up, and when I logged in, people were there, and they sort of, I gave them the location where Sean would be and to go look for him, and you know, within 2-3 minutes that competition was won, you know. That was done and dusted. So yeah, we would like to make it longer, but I mean, I love doing things like this, and I'm hoping, like, Matt would like to come on board with some of these ideas.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and I think that's a good one. If we figure some things out, that will make it a bit harder. So I'm not sure if it would be too hard, because I don't know how many people are aware of what NPCs say. But I suppose if we give them the person's location, I mean, they might have to get onto the Tarapedia and do a bit of wiki searching to see where they can find these people.
Yeah, I mean, or you could have like a riddle for finding this person and say, like, you need so many items from the monster mentioned in their little speech. Mm-hmm. And then where to hand it in or something like that.
Yeah, so I think that's a good idea. I think we might play around with that. So thank you for that. So Matt, it's been your first Tabula Cast.
It has.
So I think you've got a lot of good things to say, and I think I'd like you to come back next week if you will.
Oh, yeah, definitely, if you'll have me.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. And I'm pretty sure the listeners will be keen to do that. So really, that's about it for this week. So thanks to everyone for listening. I look forward to talking to you all next week. I think we might choose a topic to talk about in a bit of detail next week, but I'm not really sure what we're going to do, so watch out for that. If you want to get hold of me, it's john@tabularcast.com, and we haven't yet sorted out Matt an address to be contacted on.
Send your hate mail elsewhere, thank you.
But you can find him over on gaxonline.com as Teppo.
Yep, that's me.
You know, be sure to check out my Tabula blogger over there as well. Okay, so for this week, this is John.
This is Matt.
And we'll see you soon.
Bye. Don't love the mountain. Don't love the sea. I don't love Jesus. You never done a thing for me. Ain't pretty like my sister. Small like my dad. Good like my mama. Hot September night.